It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. It's Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Oh, that's great to hear, Ryan. Now, you have been twitching a lot more recently. How can people watch you play video games?
They're not going to be able to. So one of the things that I've tried to get is a regular schedule now. So I'll be on Tuesday, Thursday, Sundays for the most part with the odds. I'll sprinkle in some randoms here and there. But part of what is going on now, I tweeted it out, and I was very proud of myself, but I've recently become a Twitch affiliate.
Nice.
Which means I can actually start taking subscribers on Twitch and start getting paid to play video games, which has been a lifelong dream of mine, and I'm actually seeing it become reality now, which is very fun.
Now, so you're telling me before, if somebody has Amazon Prime, they don't even have to actually pay you, but you still get a little kickback, so how do they do that?
Correct. So basically, when you become an affiliate, and a partner is like the big-time people, our partners.
Yeah.
So we're working towards that now. But partners and affiliates, they have subscriptions, which basically like are paid monthly subscriptions. But if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can use like a base level subscription for free.
Nice.
To one person. So if you have one hanging out there, please at Arvon D on the Twitch, and please come and check it out. I will actually, as we record this, as soon as I hang up tonight, I'm jumping on. So.
So there you go. So get on, get after it, twitch.tv/RVonD. Check it out. All right, let's get on to the show.
This week in Dork.
Yeah! All right, Ryan, in really inspiring the episode for this week, Incredibles 2 was in theaters this past weekend, and it was a monster. Critically, everybody loves it. Audience loves it. Made a ton of money, like $180 million, tops amongst animated movies. It was... apparently, a big talk, like years after the original. Like, it's pretty crazy for, 14 years to wait and have a sequel. But people were on board, and it seems to be the greatest movie ever.
And I haven't seen it yet, but what I'm told is that it literally picks up right where the last movie left off.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I've not seen it yet either, but I've heard good things about it. And it is weird to me. I was kind of hoping when they first announced they were going to be doing it, I thought it'd be cool to do a let's see where they are 14 years later. So you have, like,
yep.
You know... Jack and Dash and all of them are all grown up, but nope, it takes place pretty much after the first movie.
Yeah, I think it picks up with the Mole Man popping out and then like dealing with him.
Nice.
So I'm excited to see that, and like I said, I've heard nothing but glowing things about it from the people I know who have seen it.
Yeah.
So and people who I trust.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
And before people freak out, once we get to our topic du jour, Incredibles 2 is not in our top 10, so we're not going to discuss it, and it could join the top 10, but we have not seen it, so therefore
we have to see it first.
It's not there. Rick and Morty Season 4 has begun production. They have not given a release date yet, but it sounds like early 2019.
And what I'm also told, the good news, is there is, since they signed that mega deal with Cartoon Network, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be more regular, right?
They signed for multi-seasons. I think it's 4 or 5 more seasons, and there's not going to be any lapses between seasons.
So that's great. So now they're going to have more of a set schedule, so you'll see it the season, then it'll be over, and then it'll come back on again the next year. So that's good news. Luke Cage Season 2 is out on Friday. Does that get you going?
It does, and I'll tell you, there's not a lot of press about this. I haven't heard anything about it.
There's zero buzz.
Well, they're focusing on villains, I guess. This is the only article I've read.
Okay.
So, you know, which is good. I mean, Luke's a little vanilla for me.
Luke is a little boring. Yeah, that's true.
They're a little bit of a Boy Scout.
They're going to have to kick it up a notch a little bit. I don't know what they're going to have to do. I wonder... You know, we've talked about how, you know, the Marvel movies, they're so good, and like the way Infinity War ended, like people need to kind of relax with it. You know, I think, right, like everybody needs a little bit of a deep breath following Infinity War.
Yep.
The Netflix shows, there's been some stinkers. Like when it was just the 2 seasons of Daredevil and the first season of Jessica Jones, it was like, this is some of the best stuff on TV. Like, I love those shows. But then they're like, here's Iron Fist, which sucks. Here's The Defenders, which was not very good. Luke Cage Season 1 was fine. I think Punisher was good. Like, that helped, you know, kick things up a little bit. But then Jessica Jones Season 2 was bad. So I don't know. Like, I'm obviously going to watch this. I think we're going to do a standalone episode on it. But I'm not really all that excited about it.
But your expectations are low, which means you can't be disappointed.
That's a good point. That's true. So that's Luke Cage and Marvel news. We got some DC news here, Ryan. Wonder Woman Season 2 is going to take place in 1984, the year of my birth. So we're very excited about that. They also showed Steve Trevor, who must be a ghost or a twin.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Because the first Wonder Woman took place in 1918, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So it's so he in that movie was well into his 30s, right?
Yeah, and died.
So even if they do the thing where he survives, right?
Are they going to Captain America him? He's frozen.
He's like, yeah, he's got to be like what, 100 years old?
Yeah, I mean he looks a lot younger than that there in the shot I saw, but I don't know. Wonder Woman's really the best thing DC has going for them, so we'll see how they explain it. But 1984, I don't know. And are they going to explain, like, was Wonder Woman, did she sit out World War II or Vietnam, or what was she up to?
Well, maybe they'll do a little catch-up or something. Maybe they'll do, like, a thing at the beginning where they, like, you know, like, they get the top shot of, like, newspapers, like, flopping down?
Oh, yeah, that's a good little montage. That'll catch you up.
The newspaper montage. And what was I going to say? So there's also shots of what looks like an invisible jet.
There you go. Well, how'd you see it, Ryan?
Well, because Gal Gadot was hooked up to like some rig, and she looked like she was flying, but was seated.
Oh yeah, she looked like she was on a swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be the invisible
plane. People are thinking that's the invisible jet. Yeah.
That's pretty early. The invisible jet. That's not bad. All right, I'll see that. There's the Aquaman trailer that's going to come out at San Diego Comic-Con, which I believe is next month. Does that put a little bit of lead in your pencil?
I'm curious about this movie. I'm very curious about this.
I like James Wan a lot, the director.
Mm-hmm. I like Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
But I like Khal Drogo.
I know, but he looks a little silly as Aquaman.
He doesn't look any sillier than, what's it, Patrick Wilson.
No, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't know. We see the Black Manta helmet. Amber Heard as Mira. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
It's probably going to stink, but how bad is it going to stink? Is it going to be like so bad that it's good, or is it just going to be like crap?
I think how about a little humor?
Yeah, DC? Add a little bit. Just yeah, to, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like you are widely regarded one of the worst superheroes ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have some fun with that.
Have a good time. They did that in the New 52 when they relaunched that. I think Geoff Johns might have been writing it in Aquaman. It was a little bit more self-deprecating. Like they kind of got it. Cuz like he is one of the isn't he an original Avenger or he was in like that first tier anyway.
You mean Justice League?
Yeah, he's not an Avenger. Taking it back. Yeah. He's in Justice League. He's like one of the first guys. So he's an old school dude. Comic book news here, Ryan, combined with video game news. I'm going to add it together here for this. Spider-Man, we're all excited about the upcoming Spider-Man video game. Apparently, that version of Spider-Man, so different universe Spider-Man, is going to make his in-comics debut in Spider-Geddon, which also comes out in September. Both the game and the comic will be out in September.
And the art on this looks unbelievable.
It looks real slick.
It looks real slick. So big up to the Marvel team and the Marvel video game team and Insomniac for pulling that together because it looks crisp.
And last bit of the news that I have, it looks like Comcast has gotten in on a bid for Fox, $65 billion. Don't mind me. So the idea of Fox and Disney together, it could still happen, but it looks like there's some competition there. So we were talking about how that could impact the X-Men and the MCU and all that stuff. So it looks like we're going to have to wait on that.
Yeah, and it's just I want nothing but bad things for Comcast at all times. So
okay, there you go. That's pretty straightforward. All right, let's get on. That's all the news I have, Ryan. Let's get on to your news, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do we have?
So I just want to get into a couple of these things that I missed from last week. So last week was all about E3, obviously. And we recorded on a Tuesday night, so we didn't really get to see the end of E3. So there was a couple things that we saw and a couple things that I missed that I want to bring up again. Namely, that Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon are coming out with a video game.
Yeah,
the guys who made...
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal. And
Rick and Morty guys, for those who don't know, Rick and Morty guys,
who we just brought up. They're actually coming out with a video game that looks it's very much a Rick and Morty-esque game, a sci-fi adventure kind of thing with Dan Roiland voicing the title character, which is awesome. So sorry for missing out on that. We did talk a little bit about Nintendo, but the biggest disappointment that we were waiting to see what happened, and a lot of people would agree with this, is we got nothing from Rocksteady
in terms
of what their next game is.
What was up with that?
I don't know. They sent out an apology. They were apologizing to people, saying when the time's right and yada, yada, yada. I don't know what time is better than E3.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what's going on? So that's that.
Do you think there's
going
to be a delay on the game or something on Red Dead?
It might be a little bit. Might be a little delayed.
Lame.
What's that?
I said lame.
Lame. AJ Styles is going to be on the cover of WWE 2K19 for your wrestling fans, so that's fun.
Not bad. Good one. Good choice.
In sad news, pick of the pod, GameStop is reportedly looking for a buyer. They are tits up.
Tell you what, GameStop is like hanging on for dear life because there's so many. First of all, GameStop, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are in malls.
Yes.
And most malls, I don't know what malls you frequent or the listener out there, what you frequent, kind of a sad state of affairs. Like us growing up going to the mall, that experience is not going to be shared by the next generation. They're going to be buying shit on Amazon or wherever else. Malls, like half the stores are closed. It's like depressing. It's just like they're boarded up or like they got the stupid like window thing down and it's locked. And then there's like, are you open? Are you open? And then it's like going out of business sales. So it's like it's hard. GameStop is having a hard time. And they should.
You know, Best Buy has been hanging on by a thread for the longest time, too.
I'm surprised by that because, like, Circuit City went the way of the Dodo Bird not that long ago. Actually, a while ago now. But Circuit City was there. Is Radio Shack still a thing?
No.
They're done, too, right?
They're gone. Toys R Us is gone. You know, so, like, this is a systemic thing.
Now, you play more video games than anybody I know. You normally just buy them on the machine and download them, right?
Yeah, I did. It's all digital for me.
Yeah, okay.
And the great thing about PlayStation...
So you're the reason GameStop is dying.
No, it's not me.
Well,
it's because why would I go out and deal with some 17-year-old kid who like turns his nose up at the fact that I'm playing a game that he doesn't like when I can just sit in the comfort of my own home and just like download it and be done with it?
And this also tells you how cheap I am, but there's no sales tax on those. So if you buy a $59.99 game, it's not $64 or whatever.
It's not cheap, Richard. We grew up. That's the standard of living that you and I are accustomed to, having been from the great state of New Hampshire.
That's right.
So I don't like to play, and I'm in fucking Connecticut. You think I like paying sales tax in this state?
No, I know that you don't.
Forget about it.
No,
will ya?
Please. Yeah. Oh, I will.
And the last bit of news, because I know we get a lot to get to here, is there was a trailer at E3 for Serious Sam 4.
Okay.
And they are boasting, get this, Richard, they're not there yet, but they want, for this game, which is kind of like a Duke Nukem, kind of like first-person shooter.
Okay.
They want 100,000 enemies on the screen at once.
Come on. How are you going to do that? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. But you know what?
How many bullets do you have?
It's not even just bullets. It's like, nuclear. Like, you have, nukes. And that game's cuckoo bananas.
That's a whole thing.
So if you ever played a Serious Sam game.
Get in on it.
Get in on that.
There you go, Ryan. Very well done. Very well said.
Hopefully that was moderately informative.
It always is. Or fairly.
It always is.
Fairly informative.
Yeah, fairly informative.
Yeah, we've not heard from them again. That was a one-off kind of article. Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
Excuse me?
Well, it's the topic of the day. And Today we're going to rank this shit. We are ranking it. We normally do kind of best and worst. We're just doing straight up the top 10 animated movies of all time. This is as voted on by the hashtag dork panel of me and Davey. And it's actually really funny. So we did 10. And unlike our horror movie top 50, which was kind of a bastardized list, I didn't like how it was weighted. Like, I thought the list was good, but I disagreed with how it was weighted. Anyway, so what we did here was Davey and I each went 1 through 10. And if it was 10 points for number one and then all the way down. We had to break some ties, and I just kind of did that on my own. But here's the deal. We came up with a list of 10 They were both completely different. I think there was one completely overlap different. On the whole thing, and it was both like a lower one on our list. Completely different lists.
Yeah, and I texted you. I'm like, I've seen way more animated movies than I thought I had.
Yeah.
And not only that, like, I own, like, way more animated movies than I care to mention on this podcast right now.
Yes.
And you and I had a very different idea of what it meant to be the best animated movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think people listening to this right now, they have no idea what our lists are going to be. Because I had no idea what your list was going to be. I thought we were going to have a lot more overlap.
And I had no idea. And I think you said we had one. We had one of the same.
Yeah, we had one. We'll hit on it when we get there. But
yeah.
A lot of people might think, you know, Pixar movies, that's what they think of right away. Some think of maybe like the original, like Disney movies. They think of that right away. Maybe they think of anime. Maybe they think of, you know, whatever. But like that's what where your mind goes. So this is a pretty good mix because the two of us balanced it out. But let's start with honorable mentions. So ones that didn't make the top 10. Ryan, why don't you start with some of yours?
And so mine, I went, my list again, I went a little bit more adult heavy, which is fine. But some of the honorable mentions I made, Spirited Away, Miyazaki's Spirited Away, which is an awesome movie, was distributed by Disney. So technically is a Disney movie, even though it's Studio Ghibli. So that's a fantastic movie. The Lego movie and / the Lego Batman movie. Those two movies I think are outstanding.
Both very good, yep.
Toy Story 3, my favorite of all Toy Story movies. Surprised this only got an honorable mention, but whatever. the very first anime movie I ever saw was Ninja Scroll, which is phenomenal, like right from the very first scene. If you haven't seen Ninja Scroll, you're not into anime at all, but you want to dip your toe in, please watch Ninja Scroll. And a movie that is on Netflix right now, one of my favorite animated movies that I've seen in my lifetime is The Iron Giant,
which you can
watch on Netflix right now.
So some of the ones that are on my honorable mention list, ones that were on the bottom half of my top 10, definitely more kid-friendly, definitely more like what I saw growing up. And I think some that you're going to be shocked aren't on this list, but I would say Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid, both I think were great animated movies. Toy Story 1 and 2, I think they're both really good. I might say 2 slightly better than 1, but all 3 I think deserve to at least be mentioned. And The Lion King, which I think a lot of people would have in their top 5. I didn't, neither did Ryan, but I think it definitely deserves to be mentioned. It's one of a handful of movies I can remember seeing multiple times in the theater.
You know what ruined The Lion King for me? And I can say this happened when I was a teen or early 20s. It might have been college. I'm not sure. But what happened was I had never read Macbeth in high school. Like, it wasn't required.
Yeah.
And then someone basically said, like, oh, The Lion King is just basically Macbeth.
It is.
I was like, well, that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I mean, that kind of ruined the movie for me.
Well, it's Macbeth with lions.
Yeah. So
and
I was like,
Timon and Pumbaa. Yeah, like those
and
guys.
And then I read Macbeth, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's The Lion King.
It's The Lion King. You stole
it's
it from
like
The Lion
Avatar
King.
Is Pocahontas.
Yeah, meets Fern Gully.
Yeah, right.
It's a bit of a blend there. All right, Ryan, without further ado, let's get into our top 10 animated movies of all time. You can kick us off with number 10.
So this is the one of our first Pixar movie here. Finding Nemo is probably one of the greatest animated movies ever made. It's got everything, Richard. It's got humor.
It does.
It's got heart.
Yes.
I thought the Dory character, when you first meet Dory, it gets a little annoying towards it, but I thought, you know, what a delightful little character. To play off like Albert Brooks's like very doting father, very overbearing father, and then you introduce Dory, so that's kind of the play off that. But I thought the story was great, the animation was great. A bit of a tearjerker.
It is a little emotional. I like underwater stuff. I'm in on fish. I'm in on sharks. I'm in on stuff like that. I like it.
Yeah, and I like, you know, all the fish with their personalities.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Good. All right, Finding Nemo, number 10. Number 9, Ryan, this is Aladdin. Now, again, I think a lot of people have their personal favorites between The Lion King, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, whatever other ones you want to throw into that list. But to me, Aladdin was the best one. Came out in 1992. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, critic score, 92% by the audience. The plot, when a street urchin vies for the love of a beautiful princess, he uses a genie's magic power to make himself off as a prince in order to marry her. It won 2 Oscars, and this was before animated movie was even a category, so it probably would have won 3. Like, a lot of these older ones that won for song and shit like that would have won even more. But I don't even remember what year they started that, but they certainly didn't have it in 92. So it won for original score and original song for A Whole New World. But Jasmine is my favorite Disney princess. I think the genie is one of the best Disney characters of all time. It's one of the best voice acting jobs of all time. You know, it's hilarious. It's well done. All the songs are good. Aladdin's good. He's easy to root for. Apu the monkey is good. Yago the carpet is good, for Christ's sakes. A good villain. To me, it's the total package. Aladdin's got everything.
It does. And, you know, this is one of the first movies. I think I was like 10 years old in this movie, for 10 or 11 years old in this movie for when I first saw it. And I remember being blown away by it.
Yeah.
And the more you hear about it now, the more impressed I am. So, like, the beginning scene where it's Robin Williams, but he's doing, like, a different voice, like the street vendor.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did this thing where they put all of these items in front of him, and he just went. That's all ad-libbed by Robin. They put items in front of him, and he just, like, started, and then they animated it after.
Yeah.
Well, so that's one of those things that, like, it's one of those legendary stories about, you know, Robin Williams, but it's such a cool thing to me that makes that scene all that better.
And if they were going to redo Aladdin, wasn't there some talks about it and who would voice the genie? And you're like, I don't know, you couldn't really do it. Like, I don't think
you could do it. And then there was a live action one that was rumored that had Will Smith.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was Will Smith. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Eddie Murphy, depending on what Eddie Murphy you're getting, could probably do it. But that's a tough. You got to have like a big voice, but you got to be able to like change it up a little bit. Like there's a lot with the genie. It's a complex.
There's a lot of ins and outs.
Yeah,
a lot of what have you.
A lot of ins and outs. But for me, like those mid '90s, because that was like a boom. And if you want to throw in some of the earlier ones like Snow White and Cinderella and all those, Aladdin to me still stands up and is the best one. And it also made a very fun video game for like Sega and like Super Nintendo.
It did. It really did. It was one of the best ports of a Disney game I've ever played.
Of all time. So that's number 9. Ryan, what do you got number 8?
I got number 8. I got Heavy Metal. Now this movie, it came out, I believe, in like 1980. But this movie, it's a series of vignettes that kind of take place, like they're loosely based together and they're based around music. And the movie's called Heavy Metal. And one of the like most inadvertently funny things to me about this movie is it's called Heavy Metal, and then you look at the soundtrack of the people who are on it. Let me give you a little.
Yeah, let's hear some.
Donald Fagen, who is the lead singer of Steely Dan.
Okay.
Devo.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Hagar. Journey. Grand Funk Railroad. Cheap Trick. Stevie Nicks. Like, these are all people who are on this like hard rock movie soundtrack, and as to the only metal band
I would say
on here is Black Sabbath. Like, they have one song on it.
That counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Van Hagar could get pretty hard.
Yeah, but he actually sings the title track of Heavy Metal, and it's like laughably funny. But this movie, it's like an adult animated movie that's like was probably very advanced at the time. But they do all these like crazy weird vignettes, and there's like all these like big boob, big hair, women, like in all of them.
Nice.
There's nudity.
Nice.
There's humping.
Nice.
It's just a great, fun, animated. It's so campy, so stupid, but I love it. I love this movie. If you haven't seen Heavy Metal, definitely check that out. I don't think you've seen this movie, have you?
I have not seen this movie.
Oh, you should. It's like one of those things like you put on and you're just like smiling the whole time because of how stupid it is.
Yeah.
And the music is like ridiculous because, again, it's called Heavy Metal, but none of it's Heavy Metal.
The movie was so good, Ryan ranked it twice in his top 10 originally.
I did, because I would watch, if I were to watch 10 animated movies, I would watch Heavy Metal twice.
So I'll add that to my queue. I'll have to see where that's available and
good
give
luck
it a go.
Finding it, yeah.
Number 7 on the list is The Incredibles. Came out in 2004, 97% on the critic score, 75% audience. I wonder why it's so low.
That's interesting.
Isn't that weird? I thought this was unanimously loved. I'm surprised by that, 75%.
Again, I think, I don't know. Like, this is my favorite Pixar movie as of right. I haven't seen Incredibles 2 yet.
Neither have I, so I would say, but even still, this is definitely my favorite. A family of undercover superheroes, while trying to live the quiet suburban life, are forced into action to save the world. You got a good family with all different skills, Mr. Incredible, Elastigirl, Violet, Dash, Frozone. Then they get the little baby, too. What really puts the movie over the top, though, is Syndrome, voiced by Jason Lee, who is just a fantastic villain. But they have all like the superhero tropes. And also in 2004, this is obviously pre-MCU, but you'd already had a few X-Men movies. You had had a couple of Spider-Man movies. The Daredevil movie, I think, was already out. So it wasn't like the great consistent movies that we have now, but the comic book superhero movie boom, I think, really sort of started around this time. So for them to take this, and you could make an argument in 04, this was one of the best superhero movies at that to that time, you know, and yeah. So they took a lot of stuff like the no capes, never wear capes, like a lot of that stuff was really, really good.
Yeah. And it was directed by Brad Bird, who his Brad Bird's very first major motion picture and debut was The Iron Giant. Before that, he had directed the music video for Do the Bartman.
Oh, there you go.
And he directed Classic. Two episodes of The Simpsons. All and right. then he did The Iron Giant in 1999, and then in 2004 was The Incredibles.
Nice.
So he's got like a sneaky good. He's only directed 11 things, including Do the Bartman, but he's done The Iron Giant, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, which is strange, and then The Incredibles 2. And he did Tomorrowland, which we won't talk about. But how about that?
That's pretty
his
good.
Only, yeah.
Did you
and
see
how much work went into these movies? That
oh
must be
my
crazy.
God! Yeah, it's got to be just got to be nuts. Did you see the? I guess over the weekend, Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiver for the Steelers, was like hitting on Elastigirl. I guess he was like online. He was like trying to like hook up with Elastigirl.
I did not see that, but it makes sense. People are in love with Elastigirl.
People are going nuts about Elastigirl, and I didn't see all the stuff from the weekend, but basically she has a very thin waist and a big booty, and so there's a lot of people that are very, very into Elastigirl.
Very into it, which is it's the body type now. And now if she can bend her body in certain ways, she can make her body look however she wants. Am I under that impression? So she's doing that on purpose.
That's the body that she wants, right? Must be.
Yep.
Now, so far here, Ryan, we have some more to get to, but on the Steal a Smooch scale, how high is Elastigirl?
She's not on my list of stealing a smooch from animated characters.
Not on there?
Not on there.
Jasmine's
good
on
wiggle,
my list.
Good wiggle, but, you know, I think she's a bit of a, from the first movie, she's a bit of a wet blanket.
What about the MILF factor? Does that factor in at all?
No, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
All
not
right.
for me. When you,
we're getting too old for that. MILFs are just MILFs are like our peers
right.
now.
And when you have children of your own, it becomes inappropriate.
That's probably fair. Well, yeah, no, that's probably true.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because everyone my age now is a mom, so it's
true.
That's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate, yeah, but I mean, we're not saying you're going to be an adulterer now. We're simply saying, if you were to steal a smooch, if the circumstances were there, you're still saying Elastigirl maybe not as high on the list.
I would, let's just for the sake of the argument, and I did this. We'll put her in the wood pile.
What does that mean?
The wood W-O-U-L-D.
I thought you meant the W O O D. I'm like, that's way too crass, Ryan.
No.
I'm not going to put her in a wood pile.
Like I would.
It's disgusting. Oh, I would. Well, I'm telling you, I think, and not to get too perverted, I don't want to get anybody into trouble here, but because of her superpowers, I would move her up a few more, if that makes sense.
No, I get you.
Right?
Loud and clear on that. 10-4, good buddy.
You want to be with somebody who's super tall, super short, super whatever. Whatever you need to do, she's kind of got there. That's why I would always think, this is sort of a side topic, out of everybody of all time, the right answer is probably Mystique from X-Men.
Sure.
Because you're just like, oh, I like the look of that person. And then she's like, done.
Do you think she would take that personally, though? It's like, I don't want you to look like you right now. I want you to look like somebody else. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Oh, yeah. There would be fights. There'd have to be some give and go or whatever they say.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to make some concessions, I would imagine. On your end.
Yeah.
That's probably what you'd have to do. All right. So number 7 was The Incredibles. Next.
Number 6, The Nightmare Before Christmas, which was a Tim Burton directed film. And this movie, kind of a landmark movie in terms of like stop motion animation.
Yeah.
Up until that point, I think Wallace and Gromit was around, but wasn't really Wallace and Gromit yet.
Okay, yeah.
And this was just a completely new look. And I think they asked Tim Burton if he thought this was a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie. And I think, what did he say? I don't remember.
Oh, God, what did he say? But now, he didn't direct this movie, though, right? This is just Tim Burton Presents.
Right. But he did all the artwork for it. It was his vision. I just don't think that he could have done it.
Yeah, and I forget what he said about it. I think it is a Christmas movie.
I see. I think it's a Halloween movie.
Mm, and there you go. But I would say
I have to Google it now, but keep talking.
Christmas is in the fucking title, so I think that kind of gives me a leg up.
But so is Nightmare.
Yeah, true. But Nightmare would just mean, like, a horror movie. Like, it wouldn't mean Halloween. Like, Black Christmas is a horror movie, but it's also a Christmas movie.
Yep, so...
And I think the character Jack is so obsessed with Christmas that it also pushes it into a Christmas movie.
But at the end, you know, he decides to, like, stay in his lane.
Yeah, but after a lot of flirting with Christmas Town.
Yep, so...
What did Tim Burton say?
Henry Selick said it's a Halloween movie.
Fuck. Was he the director?
Yes. So he said that. So the director said it's a Halloween movie. Tim Burton might just be the contrarian and be like, no, you know, but...
It's the great debate.
That's how Tim Burton talks in my head.
It's the second hot v. cold debate between Keith and Davey. Nightmare Before Christmas. Is it a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
At the end of the movie, the big payoff is that Jack Skellington's like, you know what? This is my thing. You do your thing.
Hmm.
You know? The grass isn't always greener. It's a classic grass isn't always greener.
It's not always greener. Unless you're with Mystique, because then you could always go back. You could always go back. She's always Mystique.
She's always Mystique. Yeah. But a good movie and a cool movie. My daughter, who is going to be 4 in August, loves this movie. She asks for it all the time, regardless of whether or not it's Christmas or Halloween. She always wants to watch it.
Nice.
Except she does not like Mr. Oogie Boogie.
Oh, no. God, no. I would not like Oogie Boogie either.
Yeah.
Some of the songs are a bit much for me. Like, watching it again, like I sometimes fast forward some of the songs.
Do you know Jack has 2 voices?
I did not know that Jack had 2 voices.
The singing voice for Jack was Danny Elfman.
Oh, actually, that makes sense.
Lead singer of Oingo Boingo.
Now, their hit song, This Is Halloween, from the film, have you ever heard Marilyn Manson's version of that?
I have. You've played it for me.
It's quite good.
It's quite good.
Yeah, I like it.
Number 5. This is going to be a good one.
Well, first of all, I was going to say, number 6, The Nightmare Before Christmas, was the only movie on both of our lists.
Yes, it was. That was the one on there.
That was the one. Number 5... And I can make a case for this to be a lot higher even. But number 5 to me is, for us, this is the official top 10 animated movies list. Number 5, Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. So 1993, 82% critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 88% by the audience. Batman is wrongly implicated in a series of murders of mob bosses actually done by a new vigilante assassin. So once again, like the animated series, you get Kevin Conroy as Batman, Mark Hamill as the Joker. You also introduce a new character, as it said there in the plot, which Batman already has so many great characters, but we've seen other movies or other comic books, I should say, Ryan, that like Hush, for example. Like, you already have this great stable, but they said, you know what? We're going to take a chance, and we're going to bring somebody else in. And that's what they did here. Batman the Animated Series is one of the greatest television shows of all time, and this was the movie that they made, and it's awesome. It's came out in 1993, and it still stands up.
And I hadn't seen this movie in like a very long time, but I remember seeing it and really liking it. So I went back and I watched a bunch of YouTube clips of like people explaining like why they like this movie so much, which I find is much more informative than like reading like plot points.
Yeah.
When people explain to you like why they like it, and there was this one video of this guy and he's got like a bottle of Jameson and he's just like drinking, like explaining why this is, he says, the greatest Batman story ever on film.
I think he might be onto something there.
And his points were like, okay, that makes sense. And he's like, the beauty of it is they do it, this movie's like an hour and 10 minutes long.
Yep.
And he's like, they do that in that amount of time, what took Christopher Nolan like 3 movies to do. Like, explain why Batman is the way he is, and they set it up like in such a cool way, while also introducing a new character,
yep,
the Phantasm, and using the Joker in a very creative way.
Yes, they did. They did that. So you have the best villain, but then you have somebody else, and it's somebody who one of the great things, and one of the reasons why I like the Red Hood, but that's another whole thing. But you have like a vigilante like Batman, but is willing to go all the way. Is like willing to kill. And how Batman has a problem with that, but at the same time, it's like, well, you're taking away mob bosses. Like, I don't want these guys on the streets. But the one thing that's a little predictable, I guess, would be like, oh, there's like a vigilante, a new vigilante. There also happens to be a new like character who has returned to Gotham. Like, I wonder if they're the same fucking person.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, it's great.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you think it is the best Batman movie of all time, or no?
I don't know. So this is where the distinction, the guy makes this distinction. He said, the best movie with Batman in it will always be The Dark Knight.
Okay, I agree with that.
But that's not a Batman story.
Oh, yeah, it's more like a Joker story.
Yeah, right. He said Batman's, you know what I mean? He said Batman's probably the third or fourth most interesting character in that movie.
And I think that's always been the case. Like, Batman the Animated Series and Batman the Arkham video games, that's the most Batman that Batman is. Like, he's never that Batman in the live-action movies with all different, whoever you want to throw as the actor. They're never, like, they might do a little bit of, the detective work or some of the ladies' man stuff or, like, the combat or, like, all the, like, but to have it all together, you got to go to the video game or you got to go to the animated series.
And so the animated series, this being like the one of the centerpieces of the animated series, you get a lot of Bruce Wayne backstory, and a lot of it's informative, and it's actually really, really good.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you really can't beat Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Like, they're just the best.
No, and them in the Arkham games was just fucking lights out.
Yeah.
So good.
It's the best. it's literally the best. So, yeah, that movie is awesome. I'm sure many of you listening to this have watched it, but... Like, Dave, like, watch it again. Like, watch it again. Even now, even years and years later, watch it again. Yep. You'll remember why you like it so much.
You'll remember why you liked it as a kid, but also you'll pick things up. Like, the characterization of Batman, why Batman is Batman, is really good. And there's actually, like, a mini Joker origin in this.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and they were smart, and they didn't give him a name.
Like, you didn't need that.
And they talk about, like, the 89 movie, like, it was stupid that, like, Jack Napier was, like, the guy who killed Batman's parents. Like, that never...
And that wasn't even him. Like, Joker didn't kill Batman's parents. Like, they don't need... Yeah. That would be such a Star Wars thing to do, where it's like, we're all, like, it's all related. It's like, everything's together.
Too neat. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. You also had Dana Delaney, by the way, with a voice appearance there. Good old Dana Delaney.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was a hot ticket back then.
She really was, and she even wasn't bad looking when she came on like the later seasons of Desperate Housewives. The Terry Hatcher vehicle.
Unfortunately I do not know what you're talking about.
I went all in. I was BD in that when that came out, because that came out in college, and I'm like, Terry Hatcher, yep. I am watching this.
Yes.
And it got pretty hot and pretty steamy, Ryan.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
I am sure it did.
Number four.
Moving on. We're going to go hard anime now. Ghost in the Shell. Released in, I believe, 1995. This movie tells the tale of a robot cop who is struggling with her own humanity. And it is a world that everybody in the world has, like, these robotic implants, whether it be their eyes or whatever, and they're these beings that are full robot. But they have their ghost. What it's called, the ghost, is their...
You never go full robot.
You never go full robot, but their ghost is like their personality. It's like their spirit is inside of them.
Okay.
So she is a robot with a human ghost inside of her. Now, why this movie is important, why this movie is so good, I think Ghost in the Shell itself, while it's like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's a good watch, the animation is incredible. But why this is important is the movies that it set up. This was a direct influence on the Wachowskis before they made The Matrix.
Oh, wow.
Because in the movie, what these things can do is they can actually plug in, like, the back of their head, sound familiar?
Yes.
Into, like, the entire world network, and they can send their ghost out, like, into different machines. To like, they use it for like GPS and like tracking, and they can get all this information. But they literally plug wires like into their own head.
So the Wachowski sisters saw that, and they decided to use that.
And kind of expand on it, like what if?
Yeah, right, obviously.
Know, yeah, and the whole thing. I don't want to get into the whole Cartesian dualism in this whole thing, where
the
body
best.
Is mainly yeah. physical, well, and and the head and the spirit are ephemeral. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into any of that, but there's a lot of that going on. Roger Ebert actually picked this as his video pick of the week. 1 week, he gave it a thumbs up. So Roger Ebert actually liked this movie.
So that's pretty tough. Now, did you ever see the Scarlett Johansson live-action Ghost in the Shell?
I did.
How was that?
And it's not good. And, yeah. and whitewashing aside,
right?
That was the big problem with this movie people had, is like, why is Scarlett Johansson playing a Japanese character with a Japanese name? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
But she's a robot, right? So what does it matter?
Yeah, that was what the filmmakers would say. And then the people who were like, but it's... in Japan, like it
no, true. I get it. I mean, I think they should have cast a Japanese actress. Sure, they yeah. probably should have. They were trying to make money with Scarlett Johansson, and it didn't work. So they probably shouldn't right. have used her anyway.
Right. So the idea, and again, the plot of this movie and the idea of it is a little muddy. It's not as accessible as you would like it to be. It's very heady.
Yeah. Okay.
Not as heady as another movie that we're going to talk about in a minute, but. It's cool. It's like one of those movies you're watching, and even if you don't really understand what's going on, you're like, this is fucking cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get on board with that.
You can get on board with that. Yeah. So make the very first scene when, and you know, there's a lot of, anime nudity. So
ooh.
If you like that.
Sure do.
You know, robot nudity.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, number three on this list is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Came out in 1999, so early on when the TV show started, very early on. 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, 88% by the audience. When Cartman and his friends go to see an R-rated movie, they start cursing, and their parents think that Canada is to blame. And it won an Oscar for Best Original Song, Blame Canada. This
Which
was awesome.
Incredible.
This was
Which
so good. Because South Park... they, like, later seasons, Comedy Central really let them do whatever they wanted, and,
yeah.
like, they swear a lot more, and it's just, like, it's much looser. But early on, it wasn't the way that it is now. And so to see the characters just go, you know, full rated R in the movie was awesome. Satan was so good. Like, he's really sneaky, one of the best characters on that entire show. Like, when he comes back, he's not in a ton of episodes, but when he's there... he's one of the best. But, you know, the Blame Canada, but then also Kyle's mom song. Like, it's a great, great movie. It's South Park.
It's South Park. But it's, like you said, with the and I was you said exactly what I was going to say, which is awesome, is that when this came out in 1999, like, South Park, you could tell, like, the they had a very short leash into, like, what they could do. And they pushed it a little bit. And I remember they've gotten, like, a lot of trouble. And they were, like, getting fined left and right and, like, all this stuff. And but now, like, someone gave them a movie and just let them completely off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and it was brilliant. Like, I to this day, like, I still think South Park is a brilliant show.
It absolutely is. I mean, Trey Parker is legit a genius.
And they continue to put out quality product. And this was one of the first times they're like, all right, let's just let these guys do what they want. And they had Satan, this character you talk about, is in a homosexual relationship with Saddam Hussein.
Perfect.
Which is like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, at the time, like, no one would have done that.
And
know?
They do
like,
they do Saddam face. Like, they cut it out, so it's not even animated. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And you get, okay? You know,
like, come on. Satan, come on, gay.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, to this day, I'll still break that out, that voice out for somebody. You know what I mean?
That's a great voice. I think my favorite song in the whole movie is actually What Would Brian Boitano Do?
Which, like, again, like, what the fuck? Like,
where did you come
up
like,
with that?
Where did you think of that? Like, what a ridiculous reference. And then it's a whole thing, and you're talking about how, what would Brian Boitano do if he were here right now? He'd probably kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano would do. Like, no, he wouldn't. It's amazing.
No, he wouldn't. And then doesn't he show up at the end and he's, like, super disappointed with somebody?
I think he was. I haven't watched it in a while, but he does. And they're doing, like, during the song, like, they're showing him, like, doing triple axels and shit. It's incredible. I would love to see them do another movie. Like, I know these guys are busy. They have a lot that's going on. But that was so good, and it came out so long ago that I would like to see a new movie. And you think about it, It's 81 minutes long, so it's really just like three episodes. But
it's like three, yeah.
And like they've done them now, like you could, I wouldn't count these as movies for like for this list, but like Imagination Land and like the Black Friday, like they've done the and like the Coon and Friends.
Yeah,
they basically are movies. Like if you just add those three episodes or two episodes together and put them out there, you could get the same thing.
Oh, they did the one season where it wasn't all one-offs, and they did like the PC Principal. Like that was unbelievable.
Well, that was kind of like that too. But I'm saying even like they did like direct specials, like it was like Imagination Land 1 and Imagination Land 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, if you just did those a little bit longer, like that could have been a theatrical release if you really wanted it to be.
Yeah. But, Imagination. What was the guy? They couldn't remember the tune for it.
Yeah.
Just, that was awesome.
That show's so good. So that's number three on our list.
Number two, I would put this was my number one with a bullet for my favorite my animated movies of all time, and that is Akira. This very famous anime movie. Again, the plot, it would take me 20 minutes to explain, but basically there's experiments done on kids that make them like psychokinetic and like makes them like, you know, the heightened abilities and things like that. And one of them, Tetsuo, is, you know, he, you know, discovers that, you know, these have been dormant in him, and like all the other kids that he grew up with are trying to like reel him in. He's part of this like motorcycle group, and his best friend is trying to stop him from doing all these bad things. I could go on forever about this movie. This could be a standalone episode for me. But again, it is until the Fantastic Mr. Fox came along, which I should have put in my honorable mention, and I didn't. This was the only animated movie in the Criterion Collection. It is considered to be one of the best foreign films of all time. I think someone listed it, I think it was like Time Magazine, or listed it as like 51 on the 100 best foreign films of all time.
Oh, wow.
It is an incredible sci-fi movie. Again, I don't want to get too into it because it's going to... One, I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone. If you haven't seen Akira, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, please go and see Akira.
Check out Akira. All right.
It's
did they do a live action of this ever?
They've been trying to do it since the early 90s. Mm. I don't think you can.
Okay.
Like, this is, to me, this is, like, I call it, like, Watchmen syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, you could try.
Yeah.
You could do a version of Akira. People would be super pissed about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, people would be super pissed because it's not that closely related. It wouldn't be that closely to the movie and to the manga, the comic book it was based off of.
Mm.
People had a problem with the movie Akira. It wasn't faithful to the comic book, which showed up as a weekly. Even so, like, the movie was shown 2 years before the comic book ended.
Oh, okay.
So the character, it's called Akira, but you don't really see that character a lot. And I guess in the comic book, like, he shows up in the next act a lot more. So that's where it's kind of confusing. But
gotcha.
It's incredible. And the fact that the animation was done, like, with singular cell animation, like, it was all hand-drawn. Like, the very first scene where the motorcycle gang is together and they're all, like, riding, if you just remind yourself that someone had to draw all that shit by hand, like, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, that's just that had to take so long.
And just so to put this to bed, because it pissed me off when people were talking about it, in Ready Player One, when they're like, oh, like, Wade's riding a Tron light cycle. It's like, no, it's Kaneda's bike from Akira, you dumbass.
Oh, no.
It's not a Tron light cycle. It's from Akira, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my goodness.
But so that scene, there's a scene where he, like, does this thing where he pops into frame and does, like, a slide, like a bike slide.
Yeah.
Which is, that's been copied so many times, and it's always been like an homage back to Akira, because people love that movie so much. So please see Akira.
So Akira and Ghost in the Shell, you like both of those more than Vampire Hunter D?
Vampire Hunter D is, well, in terms of like, and this is where we get, when we do these lists, like, Vampire Hunter D is fucking awesome. And that movie is, like, super entertaining. It's a really cool vampire story. And if you want to check that out, don't watch the first Vampire Hunter. Watch Vampire Hunter D. Watch Bloodlust.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
I sat you down and, like, made you watch it?
Yes. Yeah.
And you were like, this is actually pretty sweet.
I really like, I don't think I'd seen any anime at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
And I made you watch that one.
Yeah, it was good. No, I like that.
Yeah,
I would
watch
just,
that too.
No, and also the other the trick is, and it, whatever, these are our lists, but when you say top 10, it can be best or favorite, whatever. I usually combine the two and just say screw it. Like, to me, the my favorite is the best. Like, it's the best to me. And so that's where I kind of go with these lists. All right, so before we get to number one, just recapping the list. Number 10 was Finding Nemo. Number 9, Aladdin. Number 8, Heavy Metal. Number 7, The Incredibles. Number 6, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Number 5, Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. Number 4, Ghost in the Shell. Number 3, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Number 2, Akira. And number 1, and I guess these are co-number 1s, because Davey's number 1 was Akira. My number 1 is Who Framed Roger Rabbit, 1988. And I understand this is probably, it's not full animation, but I figured when else were we really going to talk about it? So I'm going to include it here. Hell, the main character, the title character, is an animated character, so we're going to go with it. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, only 84% by the audience. And I don't get it. So I was clicking around last night looking at it, and I was like, who doesn't like this movie? Especially on the Rotten Tomatoes score, where it's literally like yes or no. Like,
yeah.
How is it a no? Like, how joyless are you? Like, if you can't enjoy Who Framed Roger Rabbit? So there's one guy, he's like a top critic, and he was just like saying that the cartoon at the beginning, remember with Baby Huey, like that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, that was a better cartoon than the rest of the movie. And I'm like, you're such an asshole. Like, you're what a loser. But the plot is a toon-hating detective is a cartoon rabbit's only hope to prove his innocence when he is accused of murder. This movie was nominated for 6 Oscars, and it was also given a special achievement award at the time on top of that. It won 3 Oscars, best film editing, sound effects editing, and visual effects. I love it. I love it. And, like, also awesome is, like, the combination of Disney characters and Looney Tunes. Like, you're never going to see that again with all those characters on the screen together.
No.
Roger Rabbit is an amazing character. Eddie Valiant is a great character. I loved him. And like at the time, this was the movie I watched the most as a kid. I watched it all the time. We had the tape. I would watch it multiple times in a day. And what you don't realize when you're a kid watching this, and then you think about it later on, is was it Danny Haskins or whatever the actor? That
Bob
played,
Haskins.
Bob Haskins, pick of the pod, who had to act with like no real other actors. Like he had a scene with Dolores, you know, he had a scene with Christopher Lloyd, but for the most part it's him and like stand-ins and different things. Like he's acting with cartoons throughout the entire movie, and he does I was always shocked that he didn't have a bigger career. I was like, why isn't this guy in every movie and nominated for every award? Because he is awesome.
Oh yeah, and he was such a chameleon too, because I remember he did that, and then I think his next movie he was in like Hook. He was Smee in Hook or something like that. Like, he probably did some other stuff, but...
Yeah, no, I think that
was very soon after.
And then he was... Wasn't he in Mario Brothers?
Super Mario Brothers? Yeah, he was Mario. Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, he...
And he has a thick Cockney accent. A thick Cockney accent, too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's from England.
Yeah.
You know, and... yeah, he was in... He was in a lot of stuff. Let's see, what was he in after? He was in... Mermaids. Yeah, Hook, like you said, he was Smee. That's a good memory. He was in Hook. He played Mario in Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And then he played J. Edgar Hoover in Nixon in 1995.
Oh.
He was in the movie Spice World.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a lot of stuff, but he obviously never took off to the degree that I thought he was going to. But the Toon Patrol was great. The Weasels, like, what a great stuff. And then Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, my.
Nuts.
Christopher Lloyd, horrifying. Horrifying.
Super scary. Or just when they put the shoe in the dip. That's a scary scene.
The dip. I remember the dip. Yeah.
Dip. Unbelievable. Good scene with Droopy, Bugs Bunny and Mickey, the dueling pianos with Donald Duck and Daffy Duck.
Oh, beating the shit out of each other.
Betty Boop
awesome.
Is in there. And now, Jessica Rabbit, let's say this. She would be very high on a lot of people's Steal a Smooch. I think it's too cliche for me. She's not really...
It's a little too cliche. And you're a sucker for a redhead, too, so which...
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was. That's in my past now, Ryan.
What?
It's in the past.
Yeah, that never really goes away.
No, that's true.
I love an attractive redhead.
That's true. That's still a part of me. That is still very much a part of me.
Yeah.
But Jessica Rabbit, also, that's just her last name. She's not a rabbit. She's actually a real woman. She's not a rabbit.
She's a real woman. Yeah. No. I don't know what her maiden name is. But like you, like just to touch on what you like you, this is a movie that I remember. One of the very first movies I loved.
Loved,
you know,
loved
like
it.
Just could not get enough of. And like you said, every character was awesome. It was such a cool thing as like a kid, like pointing out like who everybody was. Like you knew who everybody was.
It's so rewatchable too to me. Like you could watch this all the time.
And like I said, they had done things before with animation and humans like on the screen at the same time, but not this interactive.
No, this was like, insane, and it's also crazy to watch and see how like seamless it is, and how like the cartoons look like they are on there. They're not like floating around; like they look like they're a part of it. And this was 1988. Like things have really changed. Like it's a lot easier to make a movie like this now.
Yeah, and I would say this is the very first movie. I loved it, but this is, I would say, the very first movie that blew my mind.
Yeah,
like
that
how
makes
do
sense.
You, yeah. And like watching a movie and being like, how did they do that? Like, can I do that in real life? Like, I think it was like, I was 6 or 7, you know, can I go talk to Daffy Duck?
Yeah.
Like, is he really that, you know what I mean? Like, that in my little 7-year-old mind, like, that just blew my shit away.
Oh, my God.
Like, how they did that.
Yeah. It's just
I'm
great.
Still not clear on how they did it, but.
I don't know either. Hence why they won a special achievement award.
Yeah.
It was what it was. And was it R.K. Maroon? He had the line when he was talking about, he's like, this is like a story of greed, sex, and murder. And as like a 6-year-old kid, that's like the heaviest line ever. And you would say it, and your mom would be like, don't say that. Like, stop saying
don't say that.
Stop walking around the house saying greed, sex, and murder. Like, it's just, I'll let you watch the movie again if you promise to knock it off with the greed, sex, and murder part.
And you're like, no.
Like, I love it. I also, the cartoon Bullets, like, and like, what a deep character Eddie Valiant is, too. Like, a cartoon killed his brother, dropped a safe on his head, and so he used to be very pro cartoons. He loved the Toons. He lived in Toontown. He was all about it. There's old photographs that show you how much he embraced Toontown. Then his brother is killed by a Toon. He now hates Toons. But guess what? That love is still a part of him. And Roger wears him down with all of his little hijinks, all of his little anecdotes, and he eventually ends up loving Roger, even all the times he yanked his ears, which Roger wants to make sure that he still loves him. And he apologized to him. Oh, the cab? The cab's one of the best characters. Benny the Cab? Great character.
Benny the Cab. Or how about the baby? The Smoking Baby?
Smoking Baby. Baby Huey. Baby Huey's good. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Good stuff. Great movie. Tremendous movie, Ryan. So there's our top 10. Feel free to tell us how wrong we are. Dorkpodcast@gmail.com or on the Twitter @dorkpodcast with your favorite animated movies of all time. Ryan, are you ready for the next portion of the program?
You bet your sweet ass I am.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend the goal?
I will receive this week.
All right.
So one of my favorite, like, a couple years ago, I think it was my pick of the pod was a little indie game called Unravel, in which you play a little Yarny, is what he's called. He's a little man or a woman made of yarn. And you go on a little 2D side-scrolling adventure. And as you're going, you start to unravel, and you have to find more yarn to like put yourself back together. And it tells this amazing story about a family, and it's very emotional and very visually cool and awesome. The sequel has just come out.
Oh, so Yarny 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Unravel 2, Electric Boogaloo is out, and I've just started playing a little bit.
Pretty good?
It's pretty good. You play as 2 now.
Oh,
so you play as 2 Yarnies, one red, one blue.
Of course.
So that is check that out. It's a good game.
Pretty good. My pick of the podcast. A couple of things we have mentioned. One that I mentioned before. One that you mentioned before. But I saw Evil Geniuses after you told me to watch that.
Yep.
Pretty good. You know, not as good to me as like Making a Murderer or The Staircase,
right,
which is actually my other pick of the pod. It's not as good as or as in depth as those are. But 4 episodes. I actually saw it, and I thought it could have been a podcast. Like, it reminded me almost more of Serial because they didn't have all the access. Like, they weren't in the courtroom. They weren't doing all the stuff. So now, like,
well, there was a good reason for that, but
no, I know. But seeing her face made it good because she's horrifying.
Oh, she's horrifying. And again, like I said, it's 4 episodes and they're all about an hour each. I thought this could have been one singular documentary.
It probably could have been. There was some dead time. The first 2 episodes in particular, I got a little bit bored, but then 3 and 4, and then you're done, and you're like, okay, it was worth watching. It's an interesting story, and but again, not as good as The Staircase, which is on Netflix now. And as I said last week, we're doing a special bonus episode. It's going to be just on The Staircase. We're going to release that later this week. My sister-in-law, aka the hashtag dork resident attorney Nicole, will join us to break down The Staircase, which is on Netflix right now. Next week, Ryan, are you going to have time to see Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom?
Begrudgingly, yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to wonder when I'm going to be able to see it as well. I'm not dying to see it, but I think it'll be... That's the plan right now for next week's episode.
That's the plan.
Also, speaking of next week, or I guess it's this week, how about a little Mac and Goo live show, which we will both be attending?
A little, yeah. Mark and Drew, is that their name?
Mark and Drew, we're looking forward to that podcast. So we had our live show, Mac and Goo. We literally could not have done it without Goo. He set the whole thing up with his equipment.
Yes.
He is having a live show, or they are having a live show. They have invited us, so we're going to appear there. It's at Bully Boy Distillery, and that's in Boston. Check it out. Mac and Goo have tweeted it out. We'll tweet it out. You can get the address and stuff. I think it's 3 o'clock on Sunday, so swing by. We're going to be doing a draft. Mac and Goo is one team. Hashtag Dork is one team. The Boxers are one team. We're not going to tell you what it is. I think they're releasing that on their episode, so I don't want to jump in on that, but it's a draft. All three of us, so it should be, or all six of us, so it should be a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. And the very first draft I'm actually going to be a part of, so you don't screw me like you did in the other draft.
Well, there you go. That was just motivation to get you to attend to a draft. That's all that was. All right, you can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Hashtag Dork, thank you very much for doing that. If you already have, tell a friend to check us out. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, WEEI.com. We're on Twitter, at Dork Podcast, YouTube, .com/dorkpodcast, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, and as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, check out Davey on the Twitch as well.
Yeah.
R Von D.
Yeah, please do. And like I said, if you get one of those Amazon Prime free subscriptions floating around, I'd love to have it. I'm very appreciative of it. I'm in talks right now. My hashtag dork emotes for my subscribers are now pending. So they have to approve them first, make sure there's no copyright issues or anything like that. But they are wonderful. So if you do subscribe to my channel, you do get access to those.
Yes,
there will be more perks forthcoming. So at Arvon, www.twitch.tv/ArvonD, come get it.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode. We have a bonus episode this week on The Staircase. And then we're talking dinosaurs, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom next week. Talk to you then.